the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The message you are about to hear is brought to you by Dominion Tapes Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Akme Parish, Ogba, Ikeja. Ministry, Pastor E.A. Adebayi. May you be blessed as you listen in Jesus' name.
Mighty name we have prayed. Our Father and our God, we thank you. Thank you for Sunday. Thank you for Monday. Thank you for today. Thank you for the morning. Thank you for the afternoon. Thank you again for tonight. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you for visiting us last night. Thank you for your light that is already shining on our ways. Thank you for filling us up afresh with your Holy Spirit. Thank you because we know that every force that is not of God in our life, we know you have already destroyed. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, please take us higher. Lead us further. Draw us closer. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Bless him because it's well. It's well with my soul. Give him all the glory. Give him all the honor. Because it is well. Glory be to your name. Thank you. It's well. Thank you because. Thank you. Glory be to your holy name. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. Yes, thank you. Glory be to you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Thank you, Father, for the victory that is in your blood. Thank you, Father, for the victory that is in your name. Thank you, Father, for the victory that is in your word. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you because the devil has lost the battle. Our victory is won. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you because it is well with our souls. And Lord, we pray that tonight you will draw us closer still. Speak to us again, Lord, and just keep on glorifying your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. And someone shout hallelujah. Tell your neighbor it is well with my soul. You to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. As we prepare for talk number 6. We'll read just one verse there. Luke 17, verse 32. Only three words in that verse. And he says, remember Lot's wife. Luke 17, verse 32. Three words. Only one verse in the Bible is shorter than that one. And that's the one that has two verses, two words, and says Jesus wept. And here we have a verse with only three words, and it's heavily loaded. I don't need to remind you, but I will, that here are three categories of people: a father, a son, and others. And again, tonight, I'm only talking to my son. If we want to put a title to this talk, you can call it Experience is the Best Teacher.
The message is brought to you by Dominion Tapes Ministry.
Experience is the best teacher. Because like I said at the very beginning, the reason the Father embraces holiness is because of experience. He said, I have been young, now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaking, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, he says, it pays to be holy. And then he went further to say, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Which is another way of saying, there's nothing to be gained from wickedness or sin. So it's a popular saying when they say experience is the best teacher. What they may not tell you, my son, is that there are two ways of learning. From experience. This experience that they call the best teacher. There are two ways of learning from experience. One is to learn from the experience of others. See what others have gone through and learn from them. The second is to learn from personal experience. Learning from the experience of others is a very nice, painless way of learning. Learning from your own experience is a very expensive and painful way of learning. For example, throughout the life of my father, my biological father. He never caned me once. Oh, I know some of you will be thinking already, you must be a spoilt boy. On the contrary. The reason he never caned me once is because I didn't give him the opportunity. And how come I didn't give him the opportunity? Because I learned from the experience of my eldest brother. My eldest brother was a very strong man, tall, big, deep-chested, much, much older than I, so I was very little and I had to look up to see him. Then one day, he offended my dad. Now my dad was bigger, heftier, and stronger. My dad is not someone you want to mess with. So he called in my eldest brother and told him to remove his clothes. And he did. And my father took his whip and gave him only 2 lashes. Only 2. The first one landed and the place turned white. The second one landed and it turned white. And while I was watching, the white turned red as the blood began to flow. And I heard the scream of agony of my strong brother. I saw how he shook. I saw him wept like a baby. And I made up my mind straight away. This man will never cane me. Never. So when my father said, "Enoch, sir, go to the river." "Yes, sir." "No. If I'm going to grumble, I will be far away from him, where he can't hear me." I learned from the experience of my eldest brother never to disobey my dad, never to annoy him. That's why he never caned me, not once. Because I didn't give him the opportunity. I learned from the experience of others that there is something called a curse. And that the power of a curse is unbelievably terrible. There was a man that I knew. Brilliant. I mean, when I was very young, he was the toast of the village. If he ever came second in class, he came home crying, weeping. You could hear him weeping from almost as far away as the former auditorium. Then you will know something happened. And what happened? They came to know he came second. Then one day he offended his parents. And the mother beat her two breasts and said, unless you did not suck from this breast, that's when you will prosper. One day, he woke up and said he wasn't going to school anymore. Why? The teacher beat you? No, he was the favorite of every teacher. Why are you sure? I'm not going. I'm just not going. Period. Okay, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be an apprentice to a driver. Why? Of all the jobs in the world, he said, you know, in the olden days, you have these big lorries, wooden lorries, and you have one piece of log of wood that they used to shock it so that it won't go backwards. Some of you are too young to know what I'm talking about. But at least some of you have seen what they call boile kaja. At least we saw something like that. So when this wooden lorry is on the move, the apprentice that they call Kekireoko will remove the log, and the vehicle will be moving, and he will run after it, throwing the log in, and then catch one of the pillars of the something and then swing himself in. Now some of them do it acrobatically. With one hand they will hold the board of the lorry. With the other one they will touch the ground and then before they swing in. This brilliant fellow said, I like this tie. Of the Kekireoko. So that's why he wanted to become one. After about 3 months, as an apprentice driver, he said he's no longer interested in that. He has seen some people cutting down a log of wood, you know, sawmill. In those days, you cut down a wood, you dig a hole. Somebody goes under, somebody stays up. You take one big saw, one is pulling up, another is pulling down. And they spend about 3 days to saw through one log of wood. He said, that's exactly what he wanted to do now. He did that for some time, and then he saw some drummers passing by. He said, I want to be a drummer. I pray for every one of you here tonight. If there's any curse upon you, it will be broken in Jesus' name. This man would have been a professor, at least a professor. But he ended up a night guard because a curse was placed on him. I learned that from the experience of others. That's why when I read that anyone who stole God's money, God will curse, I said, no, not me. I don't want a curse. I learned that there is a force called blessing, the opposite of a curse. And I learned that a blessing is an extremely powerful thing. I learned that one from personal experience. I've told some of you before, I've told you, my son, that I'm what I am today by the grace of God and the blessing of my mother. Anytime I did something that pleased her, she would say to me, "You, this boy, you will call one person, 200 will answer." I didn't know what it meant then. Today, if I say pastor, tonight, if I just say pastor, come, how many of you will come running? God worked it out because of my mother's blessing. I wanted to be a vice chancellor. I would have been VC now and I would have retired. And I would have called one fellow, and the only fellow who answered would be my houseboy. But blessing went ahead and changed my plan. That's why till my mother died, I did everything I could to please her. Everything, including traveling home every 2 weeks just to go and spend time with her. Because I know that when I'm about to leave, she will pronounce a blessing. That's why, my son, those of you who are wise, you will look after your parents, biological as well as spiritual. That's why when some people come and they do something for me and I say, "God bless you," and then they turn around and I say, "Pray for us." Ah, I've given you the best prayer. So, my son, God bless you. Two ways of learning. Samuel learned from Eli. He knew that it was because the children of Eli were tampering with the offerings of God, that they were misbehaving in the house of God, that they were committing adultery, polluting the house of God, that caused God to say in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, that I said indeed that you and your father's house will stand before me forever, but now I say no more, because he who honors me, I will honor. Samuel grabbed that one. So throughout his life, and by the grace of God, with the help of his children too, he kept himself from polluting the house of God, from stealing, from defrauding. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, 1 Samuel 12, verse 1 to 5, he said, "Israel, gather now. If I took the ox of somebody, if I defrauded anyone, if I did whatever I shouldn't do, please say it now." They all said, "Sir, you are clean." Samuel learned from the experience of Eli. David learned from the experience of King Saul. That's why when in 2 Samuel chapter 6, from verse 14 to 22, 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 22, David danced before God with all his might. And his wife began to make fun of him. He said, look at you, the whole king, look at the way you are dancing. What did he say? He said, I'm dancing for the one who took the kingdom from your father and gave it to me. He said, your father lost his kingdom because he preferred to be popular with people. Me, I prefer to be popular with God. Your father lost his crown, I'm going to keep my own. He learned from King Saul. Then Nebuchadnezzar learned from himself. In Daniel chapter 4, God loved him. He warned him, sent him a dream he could not possibly forget. God arranged for the dream to be explained to him, for someone to tell him to be interpreted, as the word I'm looking for. The dream was interpreted to him. But he ignored the warning. God told him, hey, pride is about to kill you. And he said, what are you talking about? Then God showed him who is the King of Kings. And for 7 years, he ate grass like an animal. After 7 years, he came to his senses. And said, I thought I was a king. Now I know who is the king. He learned from his own experience. When you learn from your own experience, it can be painful, it can be expensive, it can be dangerous. Because, my son, some of the people who learn from their own experience never live to tell the story. Pharaoh, for example, he saw miracles upon miracles upon miracles. 10 terrible miracles. Enough to show him, leave these people alone, let them go. But he didn't learn. Until he drowned in the sea. Tonight, I just want to pick a handful of examples from the scriptures from which I want you to learn, my son. And the first one is from the text that we have chosen. Remember Lot's wife. What lesson can we learn from Lot's wife? There was a woman already delivered from destruction by the special grace of the Most High God. Not only has God delivered her from the bondage of Sodom and Gomorrah, God has decided to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah so there'd be nowhere for her to go back to. But still, she looked back. and became a pillar of salt. My son, God has already delivered you. I am confident that it has already taken care of the enemies. But if there's a lesson to learn from this, from Lot's wife, God might be saying to you that if you ever backslide again, there'll be no room for repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, 2 Peter 2, verse 20 to 22, said that some people, after they have tasted, after they've had a foretaste of heaven, if they then turn back, it becomes impossible to bring them back again into salvation. Because it will be like a dog returning to his vomit. My son, let your decision this time be final. I'm not going back to my old ways. It's another example that I will want you to learn from is the story of a young man called Ephraim. You know the story very well. You know the story from Genesis 48, verse 13 to 20. Genesis 48 from 13 to 20. That God showed this young boy unusual love, unusual favor. The blessing that should have been given to his elder brother was given to him. And as a result, he prospered 10 times more than his elder brother. The Bible talks of the 10,000s of Ephraim and only the thousands of Manasseh. But he frustrated the grace of God upon him. When prosperity came, when blessings came, when success came, it blinded him. And instead of remembering the God who showed him exceptional love and favor, he joined himself to idols. Hosea 4:17 says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. And then in Hosea 5 verse 9, God said, Ephraim shall be desolate. My son, it is a dangerous thing to frustrate grace. Remember, my son, that you belong to an organization called the Redeemed Christian Church of God that has enjoyed unparalleled favor and grace from God. And that's why I'm talking to you now, my son. We must not do anything to frustrate that grace. We must not do anything to frustrate that favor. My son, talking to you as a father, because if the lottery is, as my son, I expect you to outlive me. And I'm sharing with you what I will probably not share with anyone else. My son, I want you to know that when God begins to build big structures like this for us, and we rejoice to see it, we should also tremble a little. Now, this giant of an auditorium does not contain us anymore. We haven't finished. It's already overflowing. But can you imagine what could happen if we frustrate God? Can you imagine what will happen if all of a sudden we did something that caused God to say, I'm no longer with you? Can you imagine hundreds of thousands of chairs, hundreds of thousands of benches with no one to sit on them? It's a dangerous thing to frustrate grace. So, my son, learn from Ephraim. Know that if you don't frustrate grace, the grace of God, if you don't let success cut you away from your source, this huge auditorium will one day be children's auditorium. If you don't frustrate grace. And my son, all you need to do is go abroad or ask those who come from there. And they will tell you of massive cathedrals in Britain, in Europe, massive cathedrals, beautiful things. And you go there on Sunday morning, and there will be only 6 people in attendance. At a time, they counted the number of big churches in Europe that were totally empty. They were almost 1,000. There was a time they put an advertisement in one of the papers that I read. This former church is for sale and could be converted to a beer parlor. That will never be our portion. My son, I want you to learn from Esau. You know about Esau. In Genesis 25, verse 29 to 34, Genesis 25, verse 29 to 34, who was hungry, as for a plate of pottage. And his younger brother said, well, you want my food? You give me your birthright. He said, oh, who cares about birthright? Just give me food. He sold his birthright. And you know what happened? That the day he was to get his blessing, the father told him, I'm about to leave. Go and get me some meat. The day of his breakthrough came, the father told him, do it now, and he went. The Before he came, the one who got the birthright has sneaked in and has taken the blessing. But watch something about that story, my son. The moment his younger brother stepped out, not 1 hour later, Esau came in. Now, Esau didn't come in saying, "Daddy, I have killed the animal. Give me 30 minutes to prepare." He had gotten the animal. He had cooked. He was now bringing it in. A certain force kept him away long enough for the one who bought the birthright to collect the blessing and go. I wasn't there, but there are some people who said that the reason he didn't come in time was after he finished cooking, he ate first. Oh, you think it didn't make sense? He's the kind of person who would do that. He would rather eat first before going for the blessing. Rather than go for the blessing first and then come back and eat. There are some of us like that. On Sunday morning, we eat before we go to morning service. Am I lying? Some of us are so anxious for reward that we forget the future. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 to 17, Hebrews 12, verse 15 to 17, he said he sought for the blessing with tears. He never got it. He cried with agony, "My father, bless me too. Don't you have at least one blessing left over?" My father said, "Well, okay, I bless you, but you will still serve your brother." It was a mixture of blessing and curse. Don't misplace your priority, my son. Follow my example. Learn to control your appetite. Let the things of God come first. I want you to learn from Pharaoh, my son. If there's nothing at all to learn from Pharaoh, it is that you cannot fight against God and win. As a matter of fact, if you look very closely at Pharaoh, my son, you will learn this lesson. That Pharaoh was a control experiment. And I will explain that in a moment. You know, when we were even in the primary school and we were studying something they call nature study. I don't know what they call it nowadays. It's like elementary biology, kind of. Our teacher said he wanted to show us that maize needs soil, water, air, I think, and light to do well. So he got two containers, put soil in both, put corn in both, pour water on one and didn't add water to the other. And then we waited and after about 3 or 4 days, the one that had water, the maize was already growing. The one that had no water, the corn remained. So the one into which they didn't pour water, they call it the control experiment, to show you what will happen if something fails. In Romans 9:17, the Bible says, God said, it is for this purpose that I raise up Pharaoh. It's a control experiment. I want everybody to see what will happen to anyone who fights against God. So I raised up a king, made him strong and mighty, caused him to fight me so that everybody may learn that you cannot fight the Lord of hosts and win.
The message is brought to you by Dominion Tapes Ministry.
Don't forget that, my son. Because each time you dabble into sin, you are challenging God to a wrestling match. You can't win. There's no hiding place from him. He sees what the geo can't see. And when he decides to catch you, it's always at a point where you won't be able to dodge. At a very narrow stretch of the road, the Yorubas call it Esekogbeji, where two people can't pass at the same time. And if you know you can't fight him and win, why don't you line up with him? Believe me honestly, if God is for you, nobody can be against you. But if God is against you, nobody can help you. Even the geo won't be able to help. My son, I want you to learn from Miriam. The sister of Moses, who said, what's wrong with this fellow? I'm the one who brought him up. When the king would have killed him, I was the one who was following him in the basket in River Nile. I was the one who told the queen, the king's daughter, that I'll go and call somebody to come and nurse him. So how come now all of a sudden he calls himself a prophet? And he wanted to marry, he didn't even get my permission. And God struck her with leprosy. My son, learn from Miriam that it is written, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Psalm 105, verses 14 and 15. Psalm 105, verses 14 and 15. My son, wherever you see them discussing an anointed man of God, leave there. Leave. If your superior has done something that is contrary to the will of God, write to the general overseer, report, so that he can be helped. But don't attack him yourself. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. My son, learn from Korah, Datal, and Abiram. You know their story very well. You know how they ganged up against Moses, and the ground swallowed them up alive. Learn from the experience of others. Anytime people are plotting a coup, don't be part of it. There is a God who can open up the earth and cause it to swallow his enemies. My son, I want you to learn from a young man called Gehazi. A classical example of a control experiment. Because God put side by side a man called Elisha, who preferred anointing to money, and raised up by his side a man called Gehazi, who preferred money to anointing. My son, you know the result. Learn from them. The one who preferred anointing to money got a double portion. The one who preferred money to anointing got leprosy. Finally, my son, learn from Moses, that great man of God. Who forsook Egypt in order that he might go with the people of God. They had only one weakness, only one weakness, one. And that is his hot temper. After 40 years of journey, he still didn't make it to the promised land. Learn from Moses, my son. That one weakness is already too many. One weakness. It's already too many. So my son, I want you on your own to do a good study of all the people that have gone before. You have heard me probably speak about the people I studied in the Word of God. You know, I spent 3 years studying Elijah. I tried to teach you as much of what I learned from him as possible. I spent several years studying Elisha. I spent several years studying Peter. I spent several years studying Paul. Why? Because I want to be like them. I want to find out what is it in them that made them so great. Because I want to be greater than all of them combined. But as I studied the positive, I also studied the negative. I studied those who failed so that I may not fail. I studied those who succeeded so that I may succeed. In closing, my son, the elders have a saying. The one who has fallen into a pit is a lesson for those who are coming from behind. Consider all those who have gone before you. Consider those who fell into a pit. Remember what I said at the beginning. Be different. So you go to the Lord again tonight and say, Father, I want to thank you for all that you are teaching me. I'm having one request. Don't let me fail. Don't let me become a bad example for others. Don't let me fail. Shall we go and talk to the Lord?
The message is brought to you by Dominion Tapes Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Akme Parish, Ogba, Ikeja. May you be blessed in Jesus' name.